Open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. The name of the message is debt-free. Debt-free. I had Brother John read that portion. It especially talks about that our God has blotted out all our transgressions. And that portion ties so much in that he read over there in Isaiah, ties so much in with what we're going to look at today. Now, we live in a world where debt is something that almost everyone deals with. Everyone. At some point in life, we all deal with some form of debt. We can have debt from the doctor, or debt from medical issues, or credit card debt, or if you own a home, you're in debt. You can be in debt paying off a car. So debt is something that we all know about. We all know about. And people work hard to get out of debt, and sometimes you get out of debt, and then some medical issues come up, and then you're back into debt. But it happens, doesn't it? But we all know what debt is. We all know what debt is. And no one likes to be in debt. No one likes to be in debt. Do you know that there's a debt that everyone on this earth owes, and that no one can pay? Everyone. Everyone owes this debt. There's not one person excluded. Everyone's in debt to God because of our sin. Every single person on this earth has broken the law of God. Everyone. The wages of sin is what? Death. And we know the payment for our sins, the soul that sinneth, it must die, Scripture declares. You know that there are a handwriting of ordinances that are against us, that are contrary to us? In our natural state. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, God's people, we're a thankful people. Like Brother John about that, reading that scripture. Boy, we read those scriptures and we are just so filled with joy. We are forgiven in Christ. We are forgiven in Christ. Rooted and built up in him again, in Christ, and established in the faith. And that faith is always found in Christ, as you've been taught. We've been taught about Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. We've been showing our need. We've come to him, and now the believer is growing in grace and growing in the faith. And that faith, again, is always centered with Christ, around Christ, and we abound again with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware, folks, who want to yoke you under bondage. That's what the scripture's saying there. Beware of that. Be aware. Be on guard, because people want to do that. They want to yoke people into bondage. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's speaking of Christ. And look at verse 10 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For ye are complete in him, that's in Christ. The believer is complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. He's in absolute control. He's over all. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and put not the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That means we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that's talking about. Being regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. buried with him in baptism, wherein you also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The same power which raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that raises us from our spiritual deadness. The same power. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. And you, here's our natural state, and you being dead, and that is graveyard dead. We're dead. That's lifeless dead. That's our natural state, spiritually. We're physically alive, but we're spiritually dead. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together. There's actually the new birth right there. With him, having what? Forgiven you all trespasses. Now note the word there, all. All. That's a marvelous little word. And in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made an open show of them, triumphing over them in it. Now note in verse 14 there, the words, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Blotting out there in the Greek is one word, which literally means this, to wipe away. To wipe away. To rub out. To expunge. To expunge. Or to turn one's back on. This is speaking, beloved, of the forgiveness that the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is speaking of. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Now, sin in Scripture is frequently accounted as a debt. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 6:12, and then we'll look at Luke 11:4. Matthew 6:12 and Luke 11:4. Sin in Scripture is frequently accounted as a debt. And the Scriptures proclaim this truth. And we know that all are guilty before God. All are guilty before God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And forgive us our what? Debts, as we forgive our debtors. This is what we are to pray. Now the Lord, this people say the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. The Lord's sinless. He's telling us this is how we are to pray. But look at that. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Now we're in debt, beloved. And look at verse 4 in Luke chapter 11. Again. And forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now think of this. If our debt is not forgiven by God through Christ, then we will perish in our sins and spend an eternity in hell. And this is true of everyone. Ye must be born again. And the Lord said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Let's go back to our text and note the latter part of verse 14. Well, let's just read the whole verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And in verse 15, in heaven spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now take note here. The text proclaims that the Lord, for his people, took out of the way the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was against us. During Paul's day, during the days of Paul writing this book, they would have a debtor's bond. They would have a debtor's bond. Just as when you sign papers today for a house or a credit card, you know, you got to sign for it. They did the same thing, beloved. The same thing. Saying that you are obligated to pay the debt that you incur. And the debtor bond for our sins is, it says here, for God's people is taken out of the way. Taken out of the way. Just as when the debt would be paid in full in the past, they would cancel or tear to pieces the debtor's bond. That's what they used to do. They would either just shred it right there in front of them, or they would cancel it. So that, now let this just sink in, so that there is no more memorial of it. There's no memorial of it. No evidence of that debt. Because it's been paid in full. It's been paid in full. It's never to be spoken of again. My. My. So Christ, when he died on Calvary's cross, the sinless one, dying for the sin debt of his people, before God and before his holy law, he paid in full all that was demanded. All of it. That's why the scripture says, and ye are complete in him. When our Lord cried, it's finished, it's really finished. See, religion says, oh, it's mostly finished. You know, now the rest is up to you. No, it's finished. It's finished. Salvation's complete. Salvation's accomplished. Accomplished. None but Christ could put this great sin debt of ours away. None but you and I can't put away our own sin debt. No one in this earth could put away their own sin debt before God. No one. No one. But Christ, for his people, he put away our sin debt. He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, it says right here. That was contrary to us. And it was contrary to us, beloved, because none of us could satisfy the demands of that debt. You see how we're mercy beggars, beloved? You see how we're poor, bankrupt sinners before God? We could not pay that. We could not pay the debt that we owed. Hebrews 10, if you want to turn there, Hebrews 10 verses 7 to 10 says this. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He came and took the handwriting of ordinances that was against his people, against me, and if you're a believer, against you. It was contrary to us, beloved. It was against us. It condemned us. And he took it away, beloved, nailing it to his cross. What a Savior. What a Lord. My, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And note it says he took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. Nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled princes and principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And in order for our sin debt to be paid in full, beloved, it took Christ's perfect life. It took his sacrificial death as our substitute to accomplish this, to pay our debt in full. It took the shedding of his precious blood. It took him dying upon the cross for us. My, what a Savior. And the result is of the death of Christ, those who rest and trust in Christ by faith alone have the debt of all their sin paid for. Paid for. In full. They are debt free when it comes to their sins. Just let that sink in, beloved. We who are the redeemed of the Lord are debt free when it comes to our sins. Now that does not give us a license to go out and to live a crazy life. I like what Brother Neil said at his mother's funeral yesterday, and I'm going to use that, Brother Neil, when you said if we obey the word of God, it'll save us from a lot of trouble. I like that, because that's true. That's true, beloved. And we bow our knee to what the Scriptures say. We bow our knee to what it says. Oh, my. Oh, my, what a Savior we have. Turn over to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Look at this in verses 1 to 5. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell ye, nay. Look at this. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They were no more sinners than anyone else, beloved, because we're all sinners. And the Scriptures declare that we are all guilty before God. And if one doesn't trust and rest in Christ, they're going to perish in their sin. Our Lord made it real clear there, real plain. Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or these 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. See the word sinners there in verse 4? In the Greek it means owner. Owner. A person indebted in the Greek. Figuratively, a delinquent. Morally, a transgressor against God. A debtor. A sinner. You see, all are debtors before God. Everyone. And a debtor is obliged to pay the debt that they owe. The whole of it. So for the sinner, the only payment due for our sin is condemnation. And we cannot pay the debt for one of our sins. But our text in Colossians proclaims that the debt of every believer in Christ is that every believer in Christ owed is totally forgiven in Christ. In Christ. Paid in full. Paid in full. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is what? He has paid our sin debt. He has purchased us with his own precious blood. My. Again, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. Just how much are the beloved of God forgiven? Over in Matthew, we see a parable about forgiveness. Turn there if you would. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Where our Lord, after telling Peter and us, as we read the Scriptures, that we should constantly forgive one another, our Savior gives us a parable about forgiveness. Matthew 18, we'll read verses 21 to 35. And we'll see that we all had a debt which we all owe to God. It is because of our sins, beloved. But oh, the forgiveness the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. All our sins are washed clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 18, we'll read verses 21 to 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times, he asked. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until 70 times, until 70 times seven. We are to be constantly forgiving one another, constantly. Because when we consider the great debt that has been paid for us, the great forgiveness that we have, we are to be constantly forgiving one another. Constant. What's the scripture say? Love covers a multitude of sin. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? Love covers. We don't expose the sin of our brothers and sisters. We pray for them. Love covers a multitude of sin, beloved. Love. A multitude of sin. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now that's as much as we could never pay. It's considered it's a huge sum. It's a huge sum. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one their brother, their trespasses. Every one his brother, their trespasses. So we have looked at how sin is a debt. And we see there that this man was forgiven a debt that he could never pay. The believer in Christ has been forgiven a debt that we could never pay. Never. We need to constantly remember that, don't we? We need to constantly remember that. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 2. But this is a debt we couldn't pay, but we've seen over in Colossians 2 that Christ paid the debt that we owed in full. And the Father has freely forgiven his people in Christ. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Beloved, he is ready and willing to forgive guilty sinners of all their debt. He grants forgiveness to all who seek it by faith in Christ. The scriptures declare if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And to be cleansed from our sins by the blood of Christ means to have our sins forgiven. Forgiven. And the basis upon which he grants this forgiveness is the satisfaction of his law, this being God, of his law in his justice by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. See, the debt has to be paid, doesn't it? God can't just wink at it. It's got to be paid. That's why you always hear me say, it'll either be paid in the sinner or in the substitute. It's got to be paid, beloved. It's got to be paid. And I ask you who are the redeemed of the Lord, is not our God merciful? When you consider the great debt that we've been forgiven, is not our God merciful? Is not our God so compassionate that he's, as Brother John read, blotted out all our transgressions? This should make us want to shout, beloved. What a great God. What a great God. What great forgiveness. What grace, great grace and mercy has been bestowed upon us. Sinner friend, we who are saved sinners tell you to beg for mercy from God. Beg for mercy from God. Seek him. Seek him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And the believer can look at what we've read in Colossians and say, oh my, how I've been abundantly pardoned. Abundantly pardoned. The good news of the gospel is it creates, one commentator said, a debt-free community. I like that. A debt-free community. The church, which speaks of the church. The called out ones from the world who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And they are fully and freely forgiven all our sin debt in Christ. He has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. This is what the Lord's done. He has canceled out the certificate of debt, beloved, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh! For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Oh, we need to glorify our God for the great redemption we have in him. We were once debtors to the law. We were once debtors to the law, but in Christ we're justified. The debt is paid, beloved. Paid. Therefore, there's no debt to be paid because Jesus paid it all in the place of his people. Our sin debt has been satisfied in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our debt is graciously forgiven. And oh, is this not grace? Because we don't deserve this, do we? There's not one of us who deserve to be forgiven. Not one of us. Oh, but the mercy of God, the grace of God in Christ. Our debt is graciously forgiven on the account of and the merit of Christ. And the forgiveness of our debts cannot be based on our merits because we have absolutely no merit at all. Brother Tim James used to say, not bother, no merit, no merit, no merit. That's our state. That's our state. That's our natural state. No merit before God. And God our Father is only satisfied. Before we go, what can we do too in our natural state? All we can do is rack up more debt, eh? That's all we can do in our natural state. Just keep racking up more debt because we're sinners by birth, nature, and choice. Oh my. And our great God is only satisfied in the work of Christ and Christ alone, which he has done. And the believer is fully forgiven for Christ's sake. And the payment made for our sins is what? The precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think of this. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, if the Lord should mark iniquity, who should stand? No one. Because we're all guilty before God. That's what the Scriptures declare in Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? My. So the forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of our sin debt is based solely on Christ and Christ alone, on his merits. Our sin is imputed to him and his perfect spotless righteousness is imputed to us by grace alone, through faith alone. And we should be well reminded, we should be always remember that we have built up again in our natural state an infinite treasure of wrath. That's what we built up in our natural state. In all the wrath that was due my sins, and if you're a believer, all the wrath that was due your sins, because it is due, isn't it? It must be satisfied, was poured out on Christ. my. And he did that because he loves us. Because he loves us. Oh my. We're born into this world spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And by means of regeneration, God makes us alive with Christ, having forgiven us all transgressions. And again, the same power that raised Christ from the grave raises dead sinners to life, to spiritual life. He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Let's look at the verses again. We'll read verses 13 to 15 again. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, so there we are in our natural state with no hope. We can't do anything, beloved. All we can do is rack up a great sin debt. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Oh, mercy. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. The law of God pointed its finger at the sinner and said, you are guilty. And as everyone in our natural state, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even if you don't think you're guilty before God right now, if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you are guilty before God's law. Guilty. The wages of sin is death. However, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the law is fulfilled, and believers are found in Him. Again, the law was like a certificate of debt, a document acknowledging that a debt had to be paid. It must be paid. A certificate of debt in those days was written on a piece of papyrus with an ink of soot mixed with gum and diluted with water. And one commentator brings forth that ancient ink did not have the acid in it to bite into the paper, and the writing could be sponged off or wiped out forever. And the certificate or bill of debt was like a bill of indictment. And Jesus took it away. He took it away. He took away the certificate of debt for His people. How? By dying as our substitute on Calvary's cross. By giving His life before the law and justice of God for us. By nailing it to His cross. The Scripture says, He paid the debt. And the slate on which the certificate of debt was written is what? Wiped clean. Wiped clean. The idea is like taking a wet sponge and cleaning the writing off a writing slate. It's gone. It's gone. Blotting it out. Wiping it out. God did not cancel the debt. No, it's paid in full. It's paid. The demands of it are paid. He didn't just wink and say, well, I'm gonna let it go. No, it had to be satisfied. It had to be satisfied. And it's satisfied in Christ for His people. And so there are therefore no charges against us. Our charge sheet is absolutely clean. Clean. The indictment against us has been wiped out, erased, never to be brought before us again. Never. It's just another way of saying there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Same thing. Blotting out. No condemnation. And again, that condemnation there means judgment in Romans chapter 8. He's taken it out of the way. He's nailed it to His cross. The Lamb of God has bore all our sins away, just like the scapegoat. They're gone. And one commentator brings this wonderful fact forth. The perfect tense emphasizes the permanence of the removal of the certificate or bond, which has been nailed to the cross with Jesus and paid in full, never to be presented again. My. Oh, this is mercy, beloved. This is mercy. Think of the list of vile sins which we've committed on that certificate of death. Think of how it was impossible for us to pay the debt in our natural state. Think of how we were guilty before God in our natural state. But God, by His mercy and grace, sent His Son to this earth to wipe out our sin debt. Wipe out the sin debt of His people forever. Forever. And only the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is all sufficient to take away the sin debt of all of God's people, all the elect of all the ages. The certificate of debt we owed is wiped clean forever. Forever. So the question comes forth then, for we who profess to be Christ, since we have been forgiven of our great sin debt, ought we not be to be ready to forgive one another? Absolutely, yay. Absolutely. Absolutely, beloved. It's both our reasonable responsibility and our great privilege to forgive all offenses committed against us. Why is it our reasonable duty? Because we are forgiven by God for all our offenses. All of them. And what a blessed privilege we have in forgiven one another. We'll close with Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 17, and we'll read to verse 32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And remember, that was our state too, beloved. Never forget the rock you were hewn from. That was our state. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put in the way lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And oh, what a great forgiveness. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, beloved, in Christ has been wiped out. What a great forgiveness the people of God have in Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the honor and privilege of being able to gather together. We pray that we would take the things that we've heard today and studied in Your Scriptures, and that we who are Your people would marvel in this wondrous forgiveness that we have in Thee, O Lord. We pray, Lord, that if there's any who are listening or will listen who are Your lost sheep, O Lord, oh, may it be the day that you give them life. Oh, may it be the day that You give them ears to hear and eyes to see, that they, just as we, have a great sin debt, and it must be paid, it must be satisfied, O Lord. We love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We praise you for allowing us to gather together. In Jesus' name, amen.